read somewhere when you're doing a slideshow, you want to have a printed copy of it just in case the bulb goes out. It's good to see everyone tonight. I'm glad you're here, even though forewarned. I always say that. Tonight, I want to talk about, I call this digitally speaking. I think Reagan did a talk about this a while back, but I think it bears looking at again, and after I get through, there'll still be room for someone else to talk about it, I think. Social media and the Christian. I'm 71 years old. Where's a guy like me get to say anything about social media? Well, let's start out at the beginning, way back when. I had started a civil service job, got drafted in 1968, did my 2 years, in 1971 came back to the civil service job. My job had been eliminated, and I got to be an operator for one of these things. That's an RCA 301 mainframe computer. The whole thing looked something like this. Just as a kind of a lesson in history here, there's the main processing unit. It had a grand total of 40,000 wire-wound bits of memory. 40,000. Okay? Keep that in mind. If you looked at this thing, you'll see, whoops, here we go. There's no keyboard. There's this bank of buttons. As an operator, you had a little book, and it told you for each job, and they'd tell you what jobs. They'd line them up on a little cart, and you punch in a bunch of things, and what it would do is it would tell it to go over here, and I think that's what this thing is a high-speed card reader, card punch reader, and it would tell it to read a couple of cards. Those cards would then tell it to go over here to a tape station and read the first tape, which had the operating system that loaded the brains of the computer, if you will, and also told it what it was supposed to be doing. And the unit I worked on had six of these little fellows and two of these fellows here. It had one of those, and it had a high-speed line printer. And one night when they turned everything off on my overnight shift and didn't turn the air conditioning off, I almost froze to death. If it hadn't been for a high-speed line printer's exhaust fan, I left that thing on. It warmed me up. Anyhow, so that was high tech in 1971. Actually, it was getting to be an old computer in 1971. To give you a comparison of all the computers at Newark Air Force Station, this has more computing power. This is my smartphone, smarter than I am. It comes with 16 gigabytes of memory, not 40,000. It has an extra 32 gigabytes of storage and a little bitty card about half the size of a postage stamp. It's amazing. It's amazing what things have done and what things have become. But I was also in a ham radio hobby, and we studied some things. They had something called packet radio. And this thing came along later on, and I worked for something called Army Broadcasting Services. And we start to get some computers in, and when the sergeant who was a hobbyist in computers left, I had been a ham radio operator, so I was the next techie guy in line, and they said, okay, you're now in charge of computers for our organization. And so we had some networks, and we were just starting networking and a bunch of stuff. So I was kind of in on the ground floor a lot of this stuff. 40 years, okay? In 40 years, we've come from that to the cell phone and all the horsepower that those things have in them. It's amazing to me. Internet. I remember in somewhere around 1994, our computers at work were connected to this thing called an internet. And somebody came and said, I had a question. They had a question for some reason. We work for public affairs as part of our organization. And they had some question, and I said, well, I've read that you can look up things on this internet thing. So I started looking up, and sure enough, found an answer. I said, wow, that's amazing. We'd all seen the movies about the smart kid, you know, can get his little computer and tell anything. But now you could do it. That was amazing. 1996, the Army sent me to a public affairs course at the University of South Carolina for all one summer, and Peggy was an Army widow again. Anyway, for a while with three kids. Anyhow, in 1996, they were just getting on to how to use this thing called an internet and networking, and they had this magic thing people had started coming up with called web pages. 1996. What was that? 20-something years ago? I'm bad with math. Okay. 21 years ago? 1996. We were just talking about web pages and how great it was, and there was this Air Force major that was going to school there, and he put the University of South Carolina on the web. They thought that was great. Really good stuff. So anyway, we come on and we have something called social media. What is social media? Well, I went to that great authoritative source, Wikipedia. I looked at other sources too, by the way. This was as good as any. It's an interactive web. Remember that World Wide Web thing? Web internet-based application software programs. That's what these things really are. User-generated content. That means that I, sitting in my little house, can generate stuff and actually put it on the website. I can put text, I can put photos, I can even put videos, and it's pretty neat. Service-specific profile for the application is maintained by the organization. You really don't control this thing, by the way, as a user. The people that maintain it, the people that have it, control it. But you can set up a little profile, right? This is me. This is what I want to do. This is what I will allow other people to do with my stuff. Sounds good, doesn't it? We'll talk about that later. It facilitates online social networking. Social networking has absolutely nothing to do with computers, okay? Social networking is how we talk to each other and how we interact with each other. We're here. We're social networking, in a way, here. Especially if we go out back after services and talk to each other in the foyer. You're really social networking there. One source said it's relatively new. Social media hasn't been around since about 2004. That's what, 13 years. We really got into this whole social networking thing pretty hot and heavy. And, by the way, it's increasingly used for advertising. Anybody ever notice on Facebook the ads popping up? Sure, they're all over the place. Let me tell you something. The guy that runs that thing gets rich off of it. Some examples, we talked about Facebook. You have your personal profile. You share photos, videos, communication with other people. Twitter, which has been made famous by a certain politician here that we have lately, posts short tweets. Or I think it's, 140-odd characters, and that's all you're allowed to say, but you can put this thing on. You somehow kind of, I don't do it, okay? I don't do it. I don't have that much that I want to say, okay, during the day that I'll sit there and tweet stuff out. But another, it's another way for people to talk to each other. See, I thought email was something, and of course, nowadays people say, well, email, that's for old people, you know. Texting. If it weren't for texting, I would not be able to communicate with my children. Okay? I don't know how many parents feel that way, but I had to learn to text out of self-defense. And it works great, and I love it, and I don't mind. Okay? Kids, don't mind. Keep texting, please. That's fine. All right. But you have something called LinkedIn. It's a networking site for business and professional people. You can put your resume on it, do all this kind of stuff. I joined the thing once, and people kept saying, here's some jobs. And I said, but I'm retiring. I'm not interested in jobs. Call it Facebook for business people. That's basically what LinkedIn is. Pinterest, pin photos, share ideas. I get the feeling that it's used by a lot of hobbyists because they can share information on this thing. Share sources and do things. Snapchat, I've never used that. It's a mobile app. App is short for application or software program. And it's used to send and share photos on your mobile phones and mobile devices. So that's what we're talking about. These are all tools and things for what? Called social media. All right? Media. What's media? Anybody know? What is media? Media is a method for communicating. It's print, it's television, it's radio, and now it's this. It's a way we have to talk to each other. Okay, how many people use it? This is from a survey in September 2016. 1,374,000,000 people around the world use Facebook. If Facebook were a nation, it would be third in population after China and India. That's a bunch of people, okay? Q-Zone, I have no idea what that is, 635. You can see all the numbers down here. LinkedIn, 336, 336 million. Get down a little, Pinterest, 73,500,000. Basically, these things are big as far as users. And the more users you get, especially if you're the guy that wrote the program or the gal that wrote the program that this thing runs on, you make a lot of money. One of the richest people in the world is the guy that did Facebook. Okay. Why do people use it? Here's this survey again. Top reasons for using it. Major reasons: staying in touch with current friends, okay, and staying in touch with family members, okay. Yes. In case you didn't know it, I'm the Facebook elder, okay. I get on Facebook. I'm retired. I have time to do that. And I look at it, and I see things, and I love seeing things. It helps kind of get the feel of what you guys are thinking and what you're doing. Watch out. It gets the feeling of what you're thinking and doing. we'll talk about that kind of thing later. So anyhow, but it's a marvelous tool. It allows us to keep track of people. Now, in my checkered career and working for the government and everything, Peggy and I moved a lot. I think we moved 5 times in the first 7 years we were married, and all the way across the country and back. And we met a lot of people, a lot of Christians that we know, and we can kind of keep up with them on that, you see. I think it's a great thing for that. Connecting with old friends you've lost touch with, I've tried that. They still didn't want to talk to me. connecting with others with shared hobbies or interests, I really don't do that very much. And making new friends, I don't know how many people go on Facebook or Twitter or something like that to make new friends. If you say something the wrong way, you might make some friends that you didn't want. But anyhow, so this is a marvelous tool, potentially. Going viral. There's one thing I want to talk about here. Social network sites, in spite of the fact that you have a profile, are not private. The content can and will be copied and distributed far beyond your intent when you posted it. Now, I will show my ignorance here, and believe me, I'm about to talk a lot about ignorance, my ignorance, that is, on some of these technical things. Yeah, I kind of grew up as a techie at a radio, TV, film, and radio, and ham radio, and all these kinds of things, but there's a limit to what this old head can absorb, okay? And it moves along so fast, if I had to take a ham radio license test right now, there's no way, because the technology has gone so far, I'd have to relearn everything that I knew. And I've forgotten it. And I've forgotten most of what I learned about computer stuff, too, even though I have to use to manage stuff like that. Anyhow, they're not private. I lock down my Facebook page, okay? There's a little thing you can click that says, only friends can see this, right? And I also checked something that I think said, you can't copy it, but I see my stuff reposted. I don't know how you do it. I really don't mind, but I don't know how you do it. And the other thing about it is I will see people commenting on things that I've posted that I don't know. Where'd they come from? They're friends of friends of friends of friends of friends. And if they happen to see something they're interested in, they'll comment about it. I've got no idea who they are. Okay? Social networks are not private. Twitter has a retweet button. Things can get spread around. Pinterest, the pin function. Facebook has a share. And that's what we've been talking about here. Tumblr, I have no idea what that is. Reblog. Social network sites are monitored. You better believe it, they're monitored. part of public relations and everything is statistics and surveying. Let me tell you something. Social networking sites are a gold mine for businesses, for governments. Sometime, anybody ever hear this, watch the TV show Person of Interest? Anybody? Show of hands. Anybody? Time flies. Very few of you were alive when that was on. I don't. No. The main thing was this guy had invented the machine. And the machine reached out and gathered every bit of data, cameras, street cams and all this kind of a thing, security cameras. It gathered all this stuff up and processed it. And it would tell them when somebody's about to get in trouble because it was artificial intelligence, you see. AI, artificial intelligence. So anyhow, I went to, don't ask me how I got invited to this thing, but sometimes when you're working, and worked at UTSA, invitations come along for certain things. And I think it was Oracle, which is a big software company that makes software for data processing, or data, data transactions, just about everything, okay? Databases, right? Housing data, analyzing data, processing data, and they were talking about big data. Big data. And they were talking about different programs and things that their services that they had, and they showed pictures of the machine. The machine. It's here. No, it's not artificial intelligence, and no, it doesn't do quite what the TV imaginary show did, but it is close. They were talking about being able to record every phone call, every internet transaction, everything that happens in communications on the internet. They can gather that information and store it. There's a big foo-for-all in our government that went on about storing metadata, and all metadata was what number you called and when. It had nothing to do with what you said. And people were upset about that. Let me tell you something. My brother, the PhD, he got all the brains in the family. My sister's got all the looks. But anyway, my brother, after a long career in aerospace, went back to school and became a data engineer. What's a data engineer? That's somebody that looks at all this data and mines it for whatever thing the company they're working for wants to know. What's the favorite color of toothbrushes? They probably can figure that one out, okay? Have you ever noticed on the internet, if you click on three things that you're interested in, you'll start getting emails and you'll start getting stuff on Facebook that have those things on them. Why? Somebody out there is watching you. It may just be a computer that automatically does that, but sometimes it can be frightening. Understand that social network sites are monitored and watched. For business, they don't really mean harm. They just want to make sure that they can sell you something. Okay. How do things get around on the internet? Way back when, now here's where I start showing my ignorance. And I can't remember how things work. But I think you need to understand something about how they work. Okay. Anytime you send an email, anytime you send a photograph, anytime you see anything, there's something called Ethernet. Well, in Ethernet, what it does is it takes that information. You can't send it in one stream. In the old days, you'd pick up your phone, you would dial a number, that went to your local office. It found, if it's a long distance, it would find a long distance line in that area code and send something down to another terminal in that area code somewhere, and it would then dial the local number that you wanted, and when you talked, you had a straight line between you. Not so with Ethernet. With Ethernet, what it does is it breaks your information up into what they call packets. Think mail envelope with a letter in it, and that mail envelope has an address to who you want to send it to, and it has a return address for who sent it, okay? In a simple mind, that's how Ethernet works. It breaks everything up into little packets, and it sends stuff. What does this have to do with the Bible? We'll get there. Anyhow, it breaks this stuff up, and it just blows it out there. Now, yes, there's some more, and I'm not smart enough to know what this is. There are ways they have of controlling and monitoring, but in basically, your computer sends this message out until it gets a message back from where you sent it saying, I got it. But it keeps sending it until it got that message back. There's a lot more that goes into it, but very simply, that's the way it works. It has a header, contains information. That's the envelope. It bounces around, and it can go anywhere in the world. The whole world's networked. It can go anywhere. Okay? I'll tell you another quickie war story. I was in ham radio business, and we had an amateur radio version of Ethernet called packet radio. And back during the Cold War, I had a friend in the radio amateur friend from Virginia that got sent over to Frankfurt, Germany. And I would send him packets. Well, by the way, you can track where those things go. You can do it in Ethernet. You can do it on packet radio. And I'd turn that on just for grins. When he answered me, and remember this guy worked for Army Intelligence, okay? His message would go from Frankfurt, Germany, via a radio link to the Netherlands, via another radio link to Israel, via another radio link to Moscow, where it got uploaded on an amateur satellite, dropped down in Maryland somewhere, over to Andrews Air Force Base and into my basement. That's a pretty simple bunch of jumps. That's how the radio, I thought it was really a big hoot that this guy from Army Intelligence had messages were going through Moscow to talk to me. Just for grins, I used a command on my computer to hook up to an outfit, and you can't see all of this, I'm sure, called howtogeek.com. All right, that's my router. My computer talks to this thing. It went through all these little stops before it got to the place that sent it to mygeek.com. Now, you engineers can probably correct me, but basically that thing can be intercepted at any of those node points. Okay? If somebody's smart enough to do it, they can intercept it and record it. Now, to get around that, we encrypt stuff. Sometimes that can be. Why am I talking about this? Because I want to underscore the fact that you must understand that your communications and social networking are not private. Let's get to the point. Well, let's talk about social media and time. Somebody was talking to, I beg your pardon, I don't remember. One of my family members or somebody, when I said they were going to talk about this, talked about seeing someone in a restaurant, a man and a woman, and the man was sitting there, and I don't know if they were married or not. If they were, they probably won't be for long, because the woman was sitting there for 30 minutes looking at her device, not talking to him. Of course, in this modern day, they may have been texting each other from across the table. I don't know. But anyhow, what was interesting to me is this is this same 2016 thing, and I have some doubts about it. Because what does it say? Israel spends the most time on social media. The United States is way down here, 7.6 hours a month. That's just social media. That's not internet or anything else or texting or anything else. That's just social media, 7 hours a month. Okay, see that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does it mean? This is a time taker. It's a time hog. And if we don't look out, we can kind of lose track of the time that we're using. Getting to the point. It's a wonderful way to communicate. We need to remember that it's not private. What we say or we do can go viral even if we don't mean to. Back when I worked for the government in Washington, D.C. area, there was a guy, a columnist by the name of Jack Anderson. He wrote a column on the government, all government, and he loved to get juicy stuff, and he would print it. And they used to have a rule said, don't write or say anything in email or letters or on the phone or anything that you don't want to read in Jack Anderson's column the next day, because he'll find out about it. That's a good rule to live by when you're on social media. Don't write or say anything you don't want to see broadcast around the world. As Christians, we have to remember that we represent other Christians. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We represent God's people. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and impurity. Matthew 12:37, for by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. We need to watch out. Bible principles. So we get right down to this thing we're talking about. The Bible says a lot about communication and talking in words. Now, back in Paul's day and Jesus' day, you know, they had the written word. They could write letters to each other. You didn't really have magazines, per se, or books, although they did have scrolls. Remember Paul saying, come see me and bring the parchments. And they would talk. I mean, here's Paul at Mars Hill, right, in the Areopagus, giving a talk because people like to gather there and hear. That was kind of the social networking site for Athenians. I would bet Paul would be a great Facebook user today, okay, or Twitter, one of the two. Anyhow, a word fitly spoken. We need to be positive in our communication. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Need to be cautious about politics. Now, we get all wrapped up about stuff, and boy, is it going hot and heavy these days. It has happened, but I can't remember when it didn't. But anyhow, Ecclesiastes 10:20, the writer warns us, curse not the king, no, not in your thought, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber, for a bird of the air will carry the voice, and that which has wings will tell the matter, especially if you put it on the internet. It's like a bird on the wing. It will fly out everywhere and tell what you're saying, what you're thinking. Exodus 22 and 28, you shall not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of your people. That's interesting, because even though we don't criticize the gods, that bears more study, but don't curse the ruler of your people. And Paul, you put that into place, and I'm sorry I didn't have the whole thing. It's in Acts. When Paul said, was before the Sanhedrin, that's right before he was taken prisoner by the Romans, and he said something about the high priest, but he said he didn't know who was the high priest. And they said, thou shalt not revile. Paul said, I did not know that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. Now, Paul meant what he told the guy, but had he known the office that he held, which was probably illegitimate, to tell you the truth, because the Romans sold it to the highest bidder, the high priesthood. But even then, he wouldn't have said anything about it. We need to be careful about that, especially when people start identifying us as Christians. We don't want to get... Christianity is apolitical. We don't want to get the idea that this church or we as Christians are political. That's not what we're here for. Be careful to write the truth. And when you read something, make sure it is the truth before repeating it. If it sounds too good to be true, too, it isn't. Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Talking about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What was it, Andrew, or somebody said, behold, a what? A Nazarene in whom there is no guile? Yeah. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Try not to offend people. It's easy to do that. I can do it pretty easily, I think. We all have made mistakes, for in many things we offend all, but if any man offend not in word, same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. That's the reading that we had before, the lesson. We need to look on the good side of things. Remember Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things and write about it on Facebook. Okay? That's what we need to do. Proverbs 16:27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and his lips there is a burning fire. Need to be careful we're not deceptive about what we write. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. In Psalm 55:21, David writes of a person, probably Absalom. What did Absalom do? Remember, he kind of parked himself at the gate of the city, and his people came in. He would say, "You're coming for judgment? Oh, the king's too busy. If I were the king, I would not be too busy, and I would take care of you." And he won the hearts of the people. David writes, "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." Watch out for smooth-talking people on the internet. They may not be as smooth as you think they are. And don't be one either. Be brief. Use simple words. Boy, this is a bad one for me. Proverbs 17:27, "He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." You didn't know that old saying, "Better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're stupid than open it up and confirm it," was a biblical principle. But here it is, right here. 2 Corinthians 3:12, "Seeing then as we have such hope," Paul said, "we use great plainness of speech." Now, for Paul, that sometimes might be hard to understand, because I'm not sure Paul always used the greatest plainness of speech. But he said he did, and he tried to. Peter said some of his things were hard to understand, but Paul tried. He wanted to use plain, and he was plain spoken about things. Beware of pride. Yeah, I do check to see how many people saw the things I wrote. How many does that? Anybody? It's nice. I do that not because I'm proud, because I think it's something important, and I'm happy that people are concerned. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling when someone walks up to you and says, "How you doing?" Right? And so that's kind of an internet version of that to me. But in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that harks to the counsel is wise. Proverbs 12:23, then, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness." So we need to watch out about being prideful. Even though Dizzy Dean once said, "It ain't bragging if you can do it." But truth is, we need to be careful online just how we do things. I want to share things because I'm proud, but not prideful. I'm happy. My kids are doing something great, or if I take a picture I kind of like, I want to share it with somebody. Otherwise, it sits over in my computer and nobody ever looks at it. And if I think it's something pretty, I want to share. And I appreciate watching other people's pictures. And I really appreciate hearing what other people have done, your accomplishments, your worries, things like that. These are things that we as a community need to be talking to each other about anyway, and we need to be sharing. This is a wonderful way of doing it. A prudent man conceals knowledge. Yeah, well. Pure religion. Social media is not the same as being there. And that's another important thing we need to remember. It's a way of social interaction, of social networking. But social networking, remember, has nothing to do with computers. It's how we deal with each other, how we interact with each other. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fathers and widows in the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Visiting means physically do something. It doesn't mean send them an email or Twitter. Ecclesiastes 4:9, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up." We need to associate with one another and help each other. That's one of the things we try to do in this church. Lord God said, and here's the original statement, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." You can be on the internet and you can have 1,000 followers of your Facebook page, 1,000 friends, and still be alone. It's not the same. It's nice. It beats nothing. But it's not the same. We still need to talk and interact with each other. Social media is a wonderful way to keep in touch and share good things with others. It's not private, and we need to watch what we say for our own safety. Never, ever tell anybody on the internet that you're going somewhere. So we don't offend. I worry about putting pictures of kids even on the internet, but Facebook, it's not too bad. And we need to remember that we have a reputation for ourselves and the saints that we need to maintain with our online personalities. Social media is potentially a great way to spread the gospel. I haven't even talked about that. That's somebody else that can talk about that. It's a great potentially way to spread the gospel, even if we don't go on the street ourselves and talk to people. I see, and I delight, and I always read it when people are quoting scripture on Facebook or a hymn or something like that. Remember that we are online examples of the believers. Paul told the people in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 3:2, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." What is the message that we, as the epistle of Paul or of God, are sending out? What are people reading that we personally write, whether it's on the internet, whether it's in person, or whatever? Those are things we need to remember. So, that is wrapping it up. Thank you for your attention. Let's be careful what we do. If you're not a Christian, you need to be one. If you're a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation, please come.